We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America continues. And I'm going through the Twitter feed and reading some different notes, including one from Jane Duker, who tweeted out, "It is anarchy in downtown St. Louis." One person also tweeted out, I thought this was interesting, "This is clearly planned, organized, disgusting, and wrong." The planned portion of it. It's hard to look at the way that this is going on. There's a lot of opportunists that said, okay, there's some accelerants here, and there's some debris here and there, and let's do this. I can't imagine who in the world would say, we're going to target the Campbell House. Michael Calhoun, if you're still there, it looks like most of the news networks are now going away from their chopper feeds, but there's still a lot of news that's going on in downtown St. Louis right now, and if you're listening to the different police radios, it's still a very active situation.
Yeah, Maria Kina, just before the top of the hour news, popped on to let me know about this vehicle fire at Tucker and Convention, major intersection. And Ryan, it's right across the street from where we saw the shoe store that was being looted on Tucker Boulevard, and the people jumping out of there and the police coming up with their dogs. The Shell station just across the street saw some action, and now that vehicle fires at Tucker and Convention, sending some, it's a bright orange ball, and sending smoke out the last time I saw a feed from there. And Maria's been telling us, she talked with the fire chief, firefighters are having trouble getting into the area because of gunfire and because of rocks being thrown and resistance from these folks who are out to cause mayhem on the streets overnight.
Yeah, I'm seeing the video from Lauren Traeger, that car fire at Tucker and Convention Plaza, and police are nearby. But part of the problem is that they definitely are understaffed right now. And not to play the conspiracy card or anything like that, but I just want to go back to what that one person mentioned in the one tweet, which was, if this is organized, if the goal is to try to bring in the National Guard, if that's what they're trying to get to, the point where things are so out of control and things are so out of hand that they're going to have to ask for extra help, which quite frankly, I'm very surprised that there isn't extra help right now. If they're being stretched in all these different locations and can't handle all of these things at once, if the National Guard's on standby, that's got to be a consideration.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens as the reaction rolls in. Maria Kina talked with the mayor about that. So we'll have definitely some insight on Total Information AM on what the mayor thinks about bringing in the National Guard. In response to that, Governor Parson has activated them but not deployed them. You might remember us reporting that recently.
Right.
So they're ready. They're on standby. But they haven't been sent anywhere yet. They haven't been given a mission yet. Even if the Guard is sent to a specific area, they have to be given specific instructions. They can't. It's not like the National Guard arrives and then their commander just takes over and starts making decisions and says, well, we're going to go over here and do this and that. They work in concert with the State Highway Patrol and with the local police departments, both county and the municipalities. They all work in concert. And so the National Guard, even once they get into town, will have to be given their mission and what their responsibilities are going to be. And just judging based on what we saw with Ferguson, they didn't have the active role of going out and finding the perpetrators and arresting them and quelling any kind of unrest in the streets with approaches like tear gas. What the National Guard did in 2014 was they were standing guard. You would go to Target and you'd see National Guard Humvees in the parking lot outside of the Schnucks, you know, in your neighborhood, on some of the street corners downtown. They were more passive deterrence last time around than any kind of active enforcement. But that freed up the local police then, because they didn't have to stand guard and they could get out into the street and take a more active role. It's not saying that that's what Governor Parson is going to do, or that's what Sam Page and Lyda Crewson and their police chiefs are going to give as instructions to the Guard for this time around. Situation's different. But just judging from the past, that's what we've seen before with the Guard.
We're going to get another update from Michael Calhoun coming up here in about 20 minutes from now, so you don't want to go anywhere. I'm sure there's going to be more things to report as we listen from all ends, from the fire and the police side, and who knows what else will happen between now and then. And as you heard at the top of the hour with Maria Kina, the car fire that was at Tucker and Convention Center just goes to show you that this thing is not quite over yet. It is lingering on past midnight in St. Louis, Missouri. I wanted to take a couple of calls, and I know Eddie's been holding on forever, so let's take Eddie now. Welcome to Overnight America, Eddie.
Thank you for taking my call, Ryan. I just hope everybody in St. Louis tonight is safe. I know you've got your hands full there.
Yes. So, well, you may take the record for listener who waited the longest online, so I definitely wanted to get your call here.
I appreciate that. It sounds like you guys might need the National Guard to come in, because that's what we had to do here in Philly for the last 2 days. So we're on a 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew, because things really got bad the last few days in Philly. Just riots, fires, looting, setting police cars on fire. It got bad here the last 3 days. It was really bad.
There has to be serious consideration for the National Guard. At least that's got to be in the discussion. At least the question needs to be answered. It can't just be unanswered. But the other thing is the curfew. I don't know how we can get past having no curfew moving forward.
The only thing I could say here with the PA National Guard being in, there is a different side. It's a lot quieter tonight than it was the last couple of nights, because the police were so overwhelmed, kind of like what's going on in St. Louis, that they can't respond to every situation. With the Guard in now, they can deploy the Guard in certain areas and have the Philly police deployed in certain areas, and they could just, you know, keep the city well secured, and hopefully St. Louis would hopefully you guys in St. Louis will do the same thing and can get some law and order and be safe.
Eddie, I got to say, I remember when you called in after you guys had the Super Bowl victory out there.
Right.
And it wasn't that long ago where you guys were handling a different type of crowd. Those that were out there to celebrate the victory and, you know, how you do that sort of thing in Philly. This is a whole completely different type of feel for you, isn't it?
Oh, this you could just feel the tension. You can cut it with a knife. After around 6 o'clock, a lot of businesses just started shutting down. All types of businesses boarding their windows up, and they have it's kind of like martial law here. If they catch you out on the street and you don't belong out there, they'll arrest you.
Yeah. All right, Eddie. Thank you for calling in. It's good to hear your voice tonight. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Let's go to Larry real quick, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Yeah, how you doing, Ryan?
Good.
I ain't heard from you in a couple of months. I think that police chief need to be out there with them cops and everything. And I think they need the governor needs to send the National Guard here, because we're gonna have the same problem. Indianapolis and Chicago and all that.
Yeah, the police chief. I can't say I've seen where he's at. I'm not exactly sure. And the other thing is interesting is that what you're not seeing is a lot of reaction from other local leaders at this point.
Right.
Really,
they need it. They need the leader, Lewis Reed, and all of them need to get out of here. And the mayor, she seems like she ain't doing enough.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to go out if you're an official like that when you know the people there are specifically.
They need to get out there.
Cause violence. But this is the thing.
Money.
They address the crowds when it's peaceful. But the thing is, if you know it's not going to be peaceful, then why are you hesitant to shut this down? Why are you hesitant to put a curfew in?
Well,
I mean, these things should be enacted.
Yeah, 'cause I've been busy at the funeral home. Boy, the killing is going on. You can't even get no sleep at night. The funeral home waking me up.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you get the calls from
We have West Lawson and Fire, Ronald Jones Funeral Home. You ever riding through there, you'll see it. Used to be a white funeral home, Mac Herman inside. Mm-hmm. We right there by Old Fallon Park. Right there on the corner. There's a big funeral home.
With when you see things like this going on, confrontations, violence, things like that, hopefully you don't have to brace for moments like that, but I guess in a realistic sense,
I'm gonna try to get with the preachers. I'm gonna try to get with the ministers and the preachers. Maybe we can pray.
That's a good idea.
Maybe we can all come together.
That's more of that. Is we can use that all the time. So, Larry, thank you very much for calling in.
And thank you.
314-436-7900. You can call or text that line. We're still live tonight in downtown St. Louis. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
I want to read this one tweet from David Carson over at the Post-Dispatch. Votog out there. And this is what he says. Police have fired multiple rounds of tear gas. There's been lots of gunfire over in Olive behind the Campbell House. Can't tell who's firing. And that's what we're seeing. That's what the reports we heard. And I know Maria Kina messaged and reported that at the top of the hour. We'll get more from Michael Calhoun in another local update here momentarily. I wanted to play this because I think it's important to point out that George Floyd's brother, Terrence, has been talking and trying to share a message on behalf of his late brother, George. And tonight, when we see just after a day of peaceful protesting, those that are marching, walking, trying to tell their story, their grievances, their problems of what they've been seeing with the country, just like many other peaceful protests that we've seen in the past, turn a different story when nightfall and the cover of nightfall, it all changes those sort of things. I think it'd be important to share Terrence's message. In just a moment, we'll do that. But first, I want to bring up Kevin Killeen, reporter here at KMOX. Kevin, what's going on?
Hi, Ryan. I've been listening to your coverage and watching some of the video tonight and was just struck with how different the police response has been to this rioting compared to the demonstrations during the 2017 Stockley uprising. Mm-hmm. And you may remember during that night in September 2017 when police had the kettling maneuver and they corralled dozens of people and arrested them wholesale, they were provoked to that action simply by some people had knocked over some concrete flower pots downtown. Mm-hmm. And the mayor's office and the police chief were saying at the time, we can't tolerate destruction of property. And then you split screen that in your mind with the burning of the 7-Eleven, the attempt of burning of the Campbell House Historic Museum, the looting of the clothing shop. There seems to be sort of an unspoken change of orders from City Hall. I don't know if that will change in the morning, but there's a definite hands-off approach in trying to avoid perhaps another tragedy that could create another martyr and just light a tinderbox. But also, as a result of the infamous night of the big arrest in 2017, the city was hit with dozens of federal lawsuits, which one of the attorneys who handled that said, you know, potentially this could bankrupt a city like St. Louis. So it might be sort of a restraint born out of financial fear that we can't weather another round of civil lawsuits for police misconduct that has police being very, very restrained tonight. I mean, I heard you pointing out when the canine unit officer was confronting people who were right in the act of looting at that clothing store, he just said, come on, get out of the building. And there was no attempt that we could see to arrest them. It was just save the building and not worry about making any arrest on the spot when they were pretty much caught red-handed.
All of them, yeah. And we saw people just parking just right on the street, not even concerned with the flow of traffic. They just put their vehicle in park, ran in, and started grabbing. And they were given a lot of warnings. And you see this a lot of times, too, when it comes to police, when it comes to the use of tear gas. There's always a warning. You normally get about 5-minute warning. Hey, this is no longer a peaceful protest or lawful. You need to get out of here. You got 5 minutes. And then eventually, that's when you see the tear gas start to go. But what we see now at the Campbell House is very fascinating, because you got the people throwing rocks and then reports of gunfire to not only police, but for firefighters. But what you're not seeing now, at least we are starting to finally get some reports that they're starting to fight back with that, but they allow these things to fester for so long. You know, if it's a clothing store where they're looting that, that can only go so far, but you're talking about an active fire situation, people lighting on fire and using weapons, allowing that to fester even further could even indicate that things are going to get even more dangerous. The ones that are trying to provoke the police and the firefighters are there only to look for violence, and you gotta nip that. And part of the problem that we have in St. Louis is that you're right, we're not nipping it anymore, we're just letting it go. Why is that strategy implemented, and what's the reason for it is a good question.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine the meeting tomorrow morning, the morning meeting in Mayor Crewson's office with the director of public safety, maybe the police chief on the phone? What are we going to do tonight?
That's a good question. Kevin Killeen, thank you very much. Good to hear you tonight.
Yeah, good job. Thank you.
Thank you. And big question, too. All of the people that I wonder if there have been any arrests tonight. Is it just an appearance issue to say we don't want to be the city that arrested a bunch of people? Is it partially because we have the appearance that things could be peaceful, and hey, we know it wasn't locally, but hey, nationwide, hey, look at us, we're not a Chicago, hey, look at us, we're not a Philly, or well, not a Los Angeles. Is it just for that sort of appearance of it all, the cosmetic side of it, but really the inner workings? We know have some major issues. Kevin.
Yeah, I just think, to answer your question, I think there is a legitimate fear on the part of the mayor and the police chief that everyone you see at these scenes has a video going, and anything you do is instantly thrown to the nation or the world. I mean, they're marching in New Zealand now over this, and they have probably been told, don't take any chances on any action that could create the next George Floyd and make St. Louis the epicenter of what's going on. And then also, as I mentioned, the lawsuits. Don't draw another big lawsuit.
What does that mean for everyone else that's innocent and now victims of crimes? Isn't that a sad state of affairs? That's the best strategy for the city, is just to allow the victims to be victimized?
Yeah, but we might see a change. There was a comment that Maria Kina talked to the mayor, and Mayor Crewson said to Maria that she's going to decide by the light of day what to do. And the obvious play is the curfew card, because that really separates the sheep from the goats. If anybody's violating curfew, then they're saying by that act, I'm out here to flout the law. And they could arrest them for a curfew violation. They don't have to say we're inhibiting their right to stand on the sidewalk and be out. So that would give them a pretext. But I asked the mayor today, what do you plan to do? And she just kind of sidestepped it. She said, well, I trust my police chief and my public safety director, and didn't want to get into a discussion of police strategy. So we'll see what they come up with. But whatever they came up with tonight didn't work. So I look for a change tomorrow. It's going to have some kind of new strategy.
Yeah, I would sign that curfew order faster than a giant check from Publishers Clearinghouse. It would be the very first thing. In fact, I would get that ready and for sending out to notice for everyone by tomorrow morning. I think that you have to do it. There has to be some sort of recourse where people know if they're going out after after a sunset that, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to be waiting outside of a store you're looting and allowing you to go anymore because this has gone too far. And you saw that in Ferguson, too. For a while there, there were peaceful protests, but it wasn't until they started lighting buildings on fire, then the curfews and the seriousness of it started to set in that they had to do something more, that this thing wasn't going to be peaceful forever. And that is where St. Louis sits tonight, and we have to do something by tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one other thing before I let you go. The events of this week are going to cast a long shadow over the August primary for the St. Louis City prosecutor. There might be a big pushback against the reform trend that came in that elected Kim Gardner after the Michael Brown tragedy, because people might just say it's no longer time to have such bending over backwards sympathy for people who are accused when you see things like this. And it'll also, I think, flavor the debate over do we need to have that second jail, the workhouse, up in North St. Louis. I mean, what if we didn't have that and it got to a point where they needed to round up a lot of people for rioting and it wasn't there, and they'd say we have no room in the inn. I think this is going to have a big impact on the whole voter attitude toward public safety going forward.
Thank you, Kevin McLean. It's good hearing from you, and thank you for calling in tonight.
All right, be safe.
We missed the message of Terrence Floyd. We're going to play that after, and we're also going to get a local update from Michael Calhoun, a local news update of what's going on in downtown St. Louis. Look at your weather coming up next, too, on Overnight America, KMOX.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
At 12:37, it's still an active scene across the city of St. Louis. The latest, we have a report of a looting and fire situation at Del Mar and Cardinal at the One Stop Mini Mart and Package. We understand that fire has been knocked down. We've got a report of a car fire that Maria Kina has told you about at Tucker and Convention, and also a report of looting at the Foot Locker at Natural Bridge and Union, and that comes from the fire department. Do we have Maria Kina? Okay. Maria Kina, as soon as we make contact with her, I understand she's got some breaking news, so we're going to get to her as soon as we can. The 7-Eleven in downtown St. Louis, earlier this hour, the fire, I understand, was rekindled there. Firefighters have been working on that. There was a fire that was set briefly outside of the Campbell House Museum in downtown St. Louis, and it's been such a hard go for the first responders, specifically the firefighters. We've got reports of gunfire in downtown, and that includes toward the first responders, toward the firefighters, rocks thrown at them as well as they approached some of these scenes. And let's go to Maria Aquino right now.
Yeah, Michael, we received reports from Jane Duker, who is a part-time host on our radio station. She represents both the St. Louis County and St. Louis City Police Officers Union. She is just telling me now that four St. Louis police officers have been shot. I don't know their conditions. Apparently, this shooting happened at 17th and Olive. Now, again, this is according to Jane Duker. We're trying to get confirmation from the St. Louis Police Department. But at this point, that's the information we're receiving. We know there was a lot of volatility in that area throughout the night and still continues to be. So, again, we're trying to confirm this, but that's what we want to get you up to date on that situation right now. Michael?
Wow. All right. We're going to continue to track that and bring you the latest. Thank you so much to Maria Keenum. Campbell X News time is now 12:39.
And thank you, Michael Calhoun. I'm watching some live feeds, and it looks like Fox 2 went back live. The good old Rogue Runner, he does excellent work on Twitter, but now being used in a different type of way. And yeah, they're looking at the same thing too. So the number four police officer shot, I wonder how close in proximity it had to do with the Campbell House, because that's when we first started hearing the reports of officers shot, or at least being shot at, and shots being fired around the area. And there's still fires pretty active around St. Louis. Still, we're seeing those go out. Michael, are you still there? One of the things that producer Mike mentioned was even outside of our studios, right in the park across, it looks like someone decided to set a fire there too. A lot of these are pretty close in proximity to downtown St. Louis, and watching some of the other scenes that are going on. Here's part of the problem with this sitting back and allowing people to start fires and not engaging with them in a way. It starts with rocks, and then it could go to fireworks, and then what we're seeing is that even gunfire going in. This is really out of control. There has to be an extra step taken here, and I'm actually surprised it's being this hands-off at this point. I mean, treating people that are starting fires and shooting at police with kid gloves, I don't understand that. I don't understand the strategy and why that would be the appropriate response to shooting at police officers, as if somehow they are, it's justified in their anger that they could act in this sort of way without repercussion. It's one thing to stand in front of a line of police officers, give the finger, yell in protest, and nothing happens there. But it's also a different thing when you see people busting windows. And I understand that if you're shorthanded, and it's probably better for your own safety not to respond, but this has gone way too far. It's getting to the point where there is gunfire. There has to be better reaction to that. And even watching some of the feeds from Fox 2 and Sky Fox right now, it looks like they are upping the ante. We're starting to see some of the riot vehicles out on there as well, and some more of the serious vehicles out on the street, more than just the white police cars with the flashing lights at this point. Man. So you got the very latest from Maria Aquino there. It looks like that number is at four police officers shot. And pray for those officers. Looks like Ryan's on the line. Welcome to Overnight America, Ryan. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
I just am really shocked that Missouri, like the government, just doesn't take a little bit more action. Like your first caller said, where are our balls? Are we just so caught up in trying not to get sued and not to have any kind of fiscal responsibility that we allow these people to do what they're doing? I just don't understand how these people can get away with this and live to tell the tale of another day. You know, I've heard a couple callers, call in and say that, man, you know, what are they going to do tomorrow night? Because there's no repercussions for tonight.
Well, as of yet, but it's not too late if they're still out. They have to immediately change this. I don't think it's too late to issue a curfew. I mean, immediately they need to stop. All right, so we're watching, I'm watching the Sky Fox right now, and there's a lot of police officers coming out on the bicycles right now. But I'm also looking at what look like Humvees and Hummers and armored vehicles and things, which makes me wonder if that's the National Guard that has been called in. It makes me wonder. I don't know for sure on this.
Well, hopefully they have. But, you know, another thing is I understand the right to protest, but why don't they limit the protest law to end at a certain time throughout the day? So you can curfew, gather yeah. and you can stay your protests, you know, till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That covers when winter hits here, you know, it starts to get dark around 4:30. That way everybody's supposed to be cleared out by the time it gets dark so that none of this stuff can happen. Another thing I don't understand is why these people are protesting. I mean, yes, I understand that the police officer did what he did and it was wrong, but it's not like the police department is turning a blind eye. They are acting like this guy, this officer was completely out of lines. So I don't understand what we're protesting against when the fact is that they're taking care of what actually happened. I mean, normally you protest against something you think isn't right. But in this instance, this officer is being, you know, he's being arrested. He's being
tried.
He's charged
with murder.
And,
yeah.
Right. And I'm sure that he's going to be found guilty. I mean, everybody who saw the video, you know, there's no way to see that this, and there's too many cognizance, you know, there's too many cogs in the whole clock working where, you know, they're going to be able to pin this guy, you know? Yeah. So I don't understand what the protests are for, because in all reality, a guy did something wrong and he's being prosecuted for it. So where is all this coming from?
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Ryan.
There's bad people.
Yeah.
There's bad people in every line of work. I mean, you're going to have it. People aren't perfect.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for calling in. Good to hear your piece on this. Yeah. I'm looking at some more social media bits online. David Carson's still out from the Post-Dispatch, and he mentioned that they've now pulled back. He said there's too much gunfire to be safe. I'm looking also at a feed in downtown St. Louis. Is this downtown? This might not be downtown, but this is Fox 2 is still reporting on the street, and we're looking at perhaps outside of, I can't tell which hospital this is, Barnes Jewish Hospital, and this may be where they're taking the police officers, because they do have the intersection blocked off, and it looks like preparing, if not already putting together the care that's needed for those officers who were shot through the overnight. We'll get another update from Michael Calhoun coming up at 1 o'clock. But as we start to get more information on this, just a sad state of affairs, the way this has turned out. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring, the flooring experts. Michael'sFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America continues tonight in downtown St. Louis, Missouri. You may be listening from anywhere in the United States with this signal going out as far as it does. I mean, we reached 35, 36 states, and more protests turning violent at night, started with some fires and then resulting in police officers being shot. We're going to get the very latest from Maria Kina now in the KMOX newsroom. Hi, Maria.
Yeah, Ryan, I have confirmation now from the St. Louis Police Department. Four officers, and I'm reading from their email, were struck by gunfire tonight during the violent protest. All have been transported to the hospital. All are conscious and breathing. Their injuries are believed to be non-life-threatening. Officers, she says, this is according to Officer Michelle Woodling of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, she says officers are still taking gunfire downtown, and we will share more information as available. They want to provide a press conference for members of the media, but at this point, they cannot find a location that's safe enough to do that. So at this point, that's where the situation stands. Four St. Louis Metropolitan Police officers have been shot. Their injuries are believed to be non-life-threatening. St. Louis Metropolitan Police officers continuing to take gunfire downtown in the St. Louis area at this hour. We will certainly keep you updated, Ryan, as the situation warrants.
Yeah. Maria, you've seen a lot of different press releases from police and other media. Do you normally see the term struck by as opposed to the term shot?
Well, that would tell me that there's the potential that they were. No, normally when it comes out, they will say that it's an officer shot, normally. So we don't know the extent of the injuries. The good news is that she put in that email that it's believed to be non-life-threatening. So that's certainly a good bit of information. They've been inundated all night long. They did not tell us about this information. We knew there was a lot of volatility going on down at 17th and Olive. That's where the fires were, all in that area, 15th and Olive, just east of the police department. But we did not know about the officers being shot at or shot at this point until Jane Duker, who's a part-time host there at KMOX, notified us of the situation. St. Louis Police Department did not send out that information. But again, it's a very volatile situation that they're dealing with down there right now, Ryan. So it's not hard to understand why they didn't get out the information a little bit quicker. But I sure believe this did not just happen. Kings Highway has been shut down completely, which is normal when an officer is shot and they start to transport him because they want to make a clear path to get them to the hospital as soon as possible. But as we understand right now, four officers, we do expect some sort of press briefing from the St. Louis Metro Police. But at this point, we don't know what time that'll be.
Okay. Maria Aquino, thank you so much for giving us that breaking news update here on KMOX. We're also watching more movement here from Sky Fox, and we're getting updates from other local media. And I know Michael Calhoun's been watching very closely onto social media and some of the other reporters that have been posting on there. But this is it. This is what I'm looking at right now. They're showing 1, 2, 3, 4. There was four what looked like Humvees. To me, that indicates National Guard. I guess the police could be using something like that. It's certainly not the SUVs with the sirens and the lights on top. So there could be something else at play here, and it could actually have opened up and at least help from the National Guard who was on standby when you're getting to the point where police officers, and we're talking four officers, were, and they use the term struck by, but we're using the term shot. I'm using that at least. So four officers shot. This is another night in St. Louis that is not going to be one we forget, and though it may not be violence in a way that we've seen in the past, as in we get a report from a Friday night and, you know, 10, 15, 20 people are shot or whatever it may be, and we look at it and we say, oh, that's such a shame. This is one where people were intentionally shooting at police officers, setting fires, and there was another one that they showed from the Fox 2 chopper. It looked like on top of a building, so there still are active fires in downtown St. Louis. I know, Producer Mike, you were looking out onto Pine. Is there still a fire out that way, or has that one been put out yet?
There is still a fire in the park across, what is 13th Street, near 13th and Pine, yeah. Closer to Olive.
Arsons and anarchists and everyone that are out for destruction right now. This just, I don't think there is anything that could stop the mayor from putting a curfew in place right now. So they could literally stop anyone that is out that does not need to be outside. See, there's the look at that. Looks like a roof fire on the other one, and it's right close to where they're staging the police from before. I can't exactly get my bearings straight, and it's hard to tell exactly where that one is, but we're going to get an update from Michael Calhoun. I'm sure he'll have a lot more details for you, and we're going to stay here another hour on Overnight America up until at least 2 o'clock, and it could even be later based on what we're hearing from press conferences from the police. We do want to stay on top of this. And part of the problem that we're running into is that a lot of the time frame, you know, we're talking about 1 a.m., who knows how much we're going to hear from any elected official. Maybe we'll get some statements coming out tonight, but I don't know how you can sleep through this. 314-436-7900 is the number here. Also 800-925-1120. I'm on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. I've been posting some photos, some screenshots of the local media as they're reporting this. And unfortunately, the police and fire just can't get to a lot of these areas that are in need because of the danger associated with it. And that's why we see fires burn in St. Louis tonight. KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.